engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways, and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. If, however, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life on the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live, by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him. For that will mean life to you, a long life for you to live on the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. He is like a tree planted near running water, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day rise again." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By many titles and on many occasions, the Lord Jesus identified himself as life. He identified his mission as coming to bring us life and to bring it abundantly. God already had and always eternally has life in its fullness. He didn't need to create us. He certainly didn't need to die on the cross for us, but he did, out of free love for us and out of a freely chosen desire and plan to pour out his life on us. Our religion is all about life. It's all about human life. God's love for human life is what we see in the incarnation, in the crucifixion, in the resurrection, in the hope of heaven. It's what we see right before our eyes. God's love for human life. He is life. He's our creator. We would not exist without him. In fact, if he were not thinking about you intensely and infinitely at every second, you would go out of existence. He's constantly maintaining us in existence. He's constantly breathing life into us. And his call to life is not only what he has given us in creation, giving us our human nature, it's also a call to supernatural life. We live on two levels. We live our human life, but we also share in the life of God. And that supernatural life came to us in baptism through faith and continues to grow in us along with our natural human life. And faith and prayer and the sacraments and acts of virtue that bring us closer to God are all nourishing that life. And proclaiming the gospel and serving others in Christ are bringing that life to others. Our religion is all about life. So when Moses, and this is a command addressed to the community, a choice presented to the people, says to them in today's first reading from Deuteronomy 30, choose life. We're talking about this fullness of life, which consists, if we listen carefully to what he said and to what Jesus says, in a union with God, in a union with Christ. Now, the people in Moses' day did not yet know Christ, but they saw him in anticipation. And the way led for them was through Moses and his leadership and the commandments that he gave. All of this was pointing to, of course, the one who would give the great commandment, the one who is the kingdom of God, Christ himself. But Moses says to the people, look, here's life for you. Love the Lord, keep his commandments. In fact, Jesus said the same thing. This is eternal life, to keep my commandments. But it's not just a set of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with God. Moses is talking here, furthermore, to the whole community. This is not just one personal invitation or a personal command to choose life. This is addressed to the community. All of you together must live in a way that is faithful to the covenant God has initiated with you. Well, the commandments are an expression, a core, fundamental, foundational expression of what the covenant means. What does it mean to live as God's people? Well, keep his commandments. This will mean life for you. But notice, this again is not just a matter of a personal relationship one-on-one with God. That exists. That's real. That's important. It's the most important relationship we have. But it's a relationship with God within a community. And it's connected to the land. There's a physical reality to it. It's connected to the land. It's connected, furthermore, to the next generation and generations after that. God says, you will have life. You'll have life on the land I gave you, and you and your descendants will live. In fact, the fruitfulness of life in one's descendants is one of the key, richest blessings that God pours out here and promises to us. This relationship with God, this sharing in his life as individuals and as a community, is dependent upon choosing life in its most natural, fundamental way, that is, not killing each other. First of all, you have no community if you allow killing within the community. And you have no descendants either. Choose life in the pro-life sense of the term, because this scripture, of course, has become foundational to the pro-life movement and the effort to end abortion, the effort to stop that form of killing, which is claiming more victims than any war or disease or act of terrorism or anything. Choose life. When God sets before you the life of a child, a life in your womb that maybe you did not expect or plan for, choose life. Choose to honor that life. Choose to respect that child's right to life. Choose that that child will live rather than be torn apart by the instruments of an abortionist. Choose life for that child, and you will be choosing life for yourself. This is a key understanding of this command. You choose life for others. You choose life for those who depend on you. And in that, you are choosing life for yourself. See, some people think that the whole question of abortion and pro-life or pro-choice is I have to choose either myself or I have to choose the child. What a ridiculous and sad falsification of reality it is to set up the relationship or to think about the relationship between a mother and her own child as some kind of a conflict or a war. It's just the opposite. They need each other. They find fulfillment in each other. Certainly the child finds fulfillment in the mother, physically, emotionally, socially. But the mother finds her fulfillment by giving herself away for her child. This is reinforced, of course, in what Jesus says here, that life is not endless pleasure. Life means embrace your cross and follow me. Life, paradoxically, means, as Jesus said in this gospel, giving your life away. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, as Jesus gave himself away for us on the cross out of love, find that same love and give yourself away to others, starting with your own family, starting with your own children. Give yourself away that others may live, and in that, you find life. St. John, as I mentioned the other day, says in his first letter, if you have enough of this world's goods, but you close your heart to your brothers and sisters in need, God's love can't survive in you. It's not just a matter of helping them, it's a matter of helping yourself. It's not just a matter of saving them, it's a matter of saving yourself. Love others, and you then have the love of God in you. St. John Paul II wrote Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, one of his greatest and most important encyclicals. And in it, and this is particularly appropriate for Lent and for these readings we hear today, he talks about Good Friday as the birthday of life. Good Friday, when Jesus gave his life away on the cross in obedience to the Father and out of love for you and me, this is the birth of the people of life. Let me read a little bit from John Paul II. From the cross, he writes, the source of life, the people of life, is born and increases. The contemplation of the cross thus brings us to the very heart of all that has been taking place. Jesus, who upon entering the world said, I have come, O God, to do your will, made himself obedient to the Father in everything. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, giving himself completely for them. He, who had come not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, attains on the cross the heights of love. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And he died for us while we were yet sinners. The Pope goes on to write, in this way, Jesus proclaims that life finds its center, its meaning, and its fulfillment when it is given up. At this point, our meditation becomes praise and thanksgiving, and at the same time urges us to imitate Christ and follow in his footsteps. We too are called to give our lives for our brothers and sisters, and thus to realize in the fullness of truth the meaning and destiny of our existence. So writes John Paul II in that beautiful encyclical, The Gospel of Life. And that summarizes our readings today. Take up your cross, follow me, there you will find life. That's his commandment. Moses said to the people, choose life. You will live by keeping God's commandments. Your children will live, you will have the land, you will live as a community, not only as individuals. And this is the source of it, God's life in you. We come to the heart of this in the Mass When we say those four words that Jesus said, we bring about the Eucharist, his body offered to the Father for us. And ironically, strangely, shockingly, we discover that the same words that are here at the heart of the mystery of the cross and of life and of the Mass are the words taken, distorted, perverted by the advocates of abortion. This is my body. This is my body, they say. I can do what I want, even if it means killing the child. The child is in my body. It's my body. I can do what I want. This is my body, Jesus Christ says, given up for you, that you may live. That's what I want for you. Life. Choose life. Take up the cross. Follow me. You will have life. The people of life, born at the cross on Good Friday, when Jesus proclaims the meaning of life is to give ourselves away in love, not to push others out of the way, that we may live, but rather to give ourselves away, that they may live, and therefore we find life as well. You know, he does give us the choice. But notice, we don't choose the consequences. Moses said, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Notice, you can choose life or death, but you can't choose what happens next. The choice is not between life and curses and death and blessings. The culture of abortion thinks that you can choose death and have blessings. Choose abortion, and then you'll be more free. But we don't get to choose the consequences. We get to choose the path we want to go down. But that path is already constructed, and it already leads in a certain way. Choose life and you have blessings. Choose death and you have curses. Today we pray that as we embrace this Lenten journey, we'll realize that's what Lent is all about, preparing us to celebrate the Paschal mystery, preparing us to celebrate the birth of the people of life, preparing us to do every day what Jesus says in this gospel, take up our cross. That's where we find life. Give ourselves away. This is my body. Yes, Lord, we do choose life because we choose you. Strengthen us in that life, now and forever. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.